Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. As you know, Lisa and I love talking about destigmatizing alcohol and the intersection of pretty much everything in life, but in particular, we're talking about workplace. Talking about sobriety and proving it to your employer can be so difficult, and our friends at SoberLink really want to help. SoberLink is a high-tech portable breathalyzer system that A, uses facial recognition technology to verify your identity, B, has unique sensors to ensure that no other air sources are being used, and C, sends results directly to your specified contacts so there is no questioning whether or not you took the test. Being in recovery from alcohol does not define the future of your career. Let SoberLink help. Visit soberlink.com/recovery-rocks for an exclusive $50 off promo code. You can also just check out that link in our show notes. Hello, everybody. It is your favorite Signal Award winning sober.
Okay, we can't do that all the time.
Yeah, we can. Just this once. Signal Award winning best buddy podcasting.
I love that that's the category we want.
Icons.
Yeah, right. Oh my God.
Can you call yourself an icon?
I don't think you can. No. Someone else needs to crown you icon.
Okay, Lisa, you are an icon.
Okay, Tony, you're an icon. You're iconic.
Look at that. Okay, great. So I think one of the most important parts of being an icon, Lisa, or just really the most important parts of being a human is taking care of yourself.
Yes.
Or something that I like to dramatically refer to it as pampering the fuck out of myself. And that just means, you know, you can call it radical self-care. You can call it, you know, in letting yourself indulge. Whatever the hell you want to call it. Lately I've been really leaning into taking care of myself, but more pampering. I look at self-care as like almost, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I look at self-care as kind of like just like bottom line. I need to maintain homeostasis, you know, like how do I stay calm? Whereas pampering the fuck out of yourself is like, treat yourself like you, it's more like YOLO. You only live once.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like next level self-care. Does that make sense? Is that ridiculous?
No, it does. It makes perfect sense because, okay. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I want to make sure that's not crazy. And if it is crazy, who cares? Because it works for me.
No, it's not crazy.
So I'm talking about, I don't know, you know, this happened when I was writing my book. I started buying myself fresh bouquets of flowers every week. I wanted to have beautiful flowers on my desk every week while writing. And I don't know why. I've always liked flowers, but like, I've never bought myself flowers before.
Yeah.
And, it was the type of thing where I was like, I was talking to my therapist. I was like, I wish Nick bought me more flowers. Why doesn't my boyfriend buy me more flowers? And she's like, you can buy yourself flowers. She's like, Nick does a lot for you. Like, if you want flowers more often, you could buy flowers. And I was like, wow, Lynn, you're amazing.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. That. So I started doing that. And, that I think that really just set the tone for taking care of myself of like, okay, I'm in a stressful situation right now. Like writing a book is really hard. How can I take care of myself during this? Mm-hmm. And not just take care of myself, but how can I like stay excited? How can I make my apartment pretty? How can I love being at my desk for this long, you know?
Yes.
And so it started with flowers. And now, you know, Nick and I just moved. We were in a one bedroom apartment, which like many New Yorkers share a one bedroom apartment with your partner. We had a one bedroom. So our bedroom was also my office. And then our living room was his office. And, you know, he has a vinegar business. So a lot of very interesting science experiments were
one bedroom apartment with a vinegar business in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has a commercial kitchen, but right. there, It didn't start out that way. And he's always playing around. There's always some science experiment in the kitchen. And then that started to trickle out into his office, which was our living room, it was just chaotic. Yeah. And we found a unicorn situation, Lisa. We found a 3-bedroom opened up in our building. So it could not have been more convenient. We moved into this 3-bedroom apartment over the holidays, and that was interesting.
That was a process.
But as difficult as it was to squeeze that in, we started 2023 in this new space. So energetically, I really liked that. This is our first time podcasting in my new studio.
Yes, like in your office.
I have an office, Lisa. So, and Nick has his own office. Our bedroom is actually a bedroom, which I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's a thing. Yeah,
that's a thing. That is a thing. Yeah.
Our living room is just a living room. So, you know, this is very exciting. But the most exciting part, Lisa, is in my office, in the spirit of pampering the fuck out of myself, I have created a meditation closet.
Yes.
you guys, you know that yoga and meditation are a really big part of my recovery and overall mental health maintenance. So I decided to turn the closet of my office into a meditation space. And it's becoming more of a reflection space where, yes, there's a meditation cushion, there's my tarot cards, there's definitely like my spiritual stuff in there, but I also have family photo albums, and I have, you know, some of my grandmother's books that she's highlighted and journaled in, and, you know, so it's really this place where I go when I feel overwhelmed and I want to recenter. And that has been truly, truly incredible. And the fact that I've created a space like that in New York City, Lisa, you know, like I gave up a closet. I gave up, you know how valuable storage space is in these small Manhattan apartments, even for a 3-bedroom, you know,
forget like it. There's it's nothing. Still, yeah.
I gave up a closet.
Yeah.
So for me,
it's prioritizing your mental health. And I support
exactly.
that.
That's exactly what it is where like, and Nick was like, are you sure? Like you don't want to use that for storage or for your clothes? Like, cause I had a lot of clothes. I was like, no, like this is symbolic for me. I'm going to get rid of shit so I can have a space that is just for my meditation closet. And that has been a huge act of itself of, I got rid of so many clothes and so many things that mm-hmm. I would have just put in a closet and used, I don't know, once a year, twice a year, you know, like, so yeah. It was so symbolic of I'm letting go of some stuff so mm-hmm. I can take care of my brain. And yeah. I wanted to do an episode about this because like, obviously everyone's not going to build a meditation closet.
Right.
But, you know, I think there really is something transferable here of the importance of creating a space for yourself, you know, like in the spiritual community, they'll might call it like an altar where you have all of these things that make you feel spiritually connected. It might be, you know, just a place to store your yoga mat, whatever it is for you. Mm-hmm. There really is beauty and importance of having somewhere in your home that you can go or stand or sit where you feel recentered.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is amazing. I think what you're doing is great. I would love to have that. And I think about it now. I'm like, I where I am, I don't have space for that here. Right. And there's no place that I could designate specifically as my space or as my, closet or anything like that. So for me, I am just thinking about how it applies to those of us who don't have space, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a matter of building a ritual around where you go in your home, where you sit outside your home, where like a go-to place, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's your meditation closet or that is, you know, the, you know, outside in the back of the house or whatever mm-hmm. You need like sort of, I love the idea of like a go-to place for when, like, there are a lot of times that I need to put myself in time out. And I never think about it. I've never thought about it in the sense of, you know, where I do that. I've never tied it to, okay, why don't I go sit in my quiet place? But I really like that idea. That is radical self-care. And I also think mm-hmm. it's a good tool for anybody who, you know, especially like feeling, so many people feel overwhelmed at home. And, you know, there's kids running around, there's, you know, family you're taking care of, whatever it is, that it can be hard to, you know, it could be a chair in your living room that's your place, mm-hmm. you know, for
exactly.
when you need to.
It yeah. doesn't have to be like a full on, like, I mean, my meditation closet, I painted it purple.
Yes, it's
and
so
there's
pretty.
Like, there's like glitter wallpaper yeah. on the shelves. Like, I went all
you
in.
You went for it. You went
I
for
really,
it.
I really, you know, I, when I'm a Capricorn, when I do something, I fucking do it, Lisa.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I didn't have the space before, that's why I described what I was living yeah. in before yeah. I had this space. And, you know, another golden nugget from my therapist, when I was really struggling with transitioning into work from home during the early pandemic, of having, my office in our bedroom, she suggested getting a room divider. And that was some of the best advice I've ever received, because yeah. we now have three room dividers in our home and they just move around of where, like, where, whenever
oh,
there's
that's
something
so smart. Yeah.
Like when there's something I don't want to see, maybe one of Nick's messes. I love you, Nick. Yeah. I'll put a room divider in front of it. Like, yeah. That has been such a wonderful piece of advice that she gave. So I'm sharing that here of, you know, maybe you can get a room divider and create, and it's, you can kind of create a little like containment field for yourself of yeah. just privacy. Like maybe you put a room divider up against a wall and that's where you put, like you said, put yourself in time out. There's so many ways you can make this work. If you don't have the space. And I also have a book recommendation, a book called City Witchery by Lisa Marie Basile. I hope I'm saying the last name correctly. Mm-hmm. But she's a poet. She has a literary journal and she writes about astrology and witchcraft and, you know, witchcraft in the way you and I, like tarot and astrology, yeah, like that kind yeah. of stuff. But her book, City Witchery, is about just what we're talking about, how to be witchy when you live in a very, very small space, in a city. And in that book, she talks about having like a shoebox altar. So she has, and maybe it's a shoebox, maybe it's like a cool old cigar box. And that has your tarot cards. It has your sage. It has
yeah.
things that make you happy. So even if you can't create a physical space, you have this shoebox under your bed full exactly. of stuff that makes you happy. Take that outside with you. Sit at the kitchen table with that. Maybe you take that into the room divider, you know, like yeah. whatever, just there's ways to make this space your own, even if you don't have it.
I think that's great. And I think what it leads to is, you know, in either case, right? So say you have your box or you have your room, your closet, your chair, whatever it is. It is also a place when we talk about a place being yours that, or a thing, you know, that brings me back to boundaries, mm-hmm. right? That is, and when I talk about putting myself in time out, that means, you know, I'm not in the right head. And the way I usually put it is I'm not fit for human consumption. And so I need to I need to put some boundaries up. I need some time to myself. I need to take space, take time, whatever it is, you know, and that is a big part of this, right? So you have your meditation closet, but if you don't set boundaries and say, no, I am going, I have to go to my meditation closet at some point this morning. Yeah. I have, you know, or I can't, you know, do a call at 2 o'clock. I can do it at 2:30 because 2 o'clock I'm going in to meditate.
Yes.
And you don't have to explain yourself. You're just not available.
That reminds me of something Chelsea Handler says. She's like, I'm not a morning person. And everyone knows that I need 2 hours to myself every morning to decuntify. And Nick and I went to one of her shows a couple years ago, and we took that with us. We say that all the time. Nick's like, I need to decuntify. I need some space.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all different ways you can look at it, whether you're making like a witchy little spiritual altar or you're Chelsea Handler who just wants to decuntify while listening to a podcast before you're fit for human consumption.
Yes. Yes. And you know, one of our generational differences is how that word makes me cringe.
And you know, every day I wear a ring that says cunt.
Which I find very funny.
Well, it's for me, and this might be like, you know, third wave feminist thing of it's reclamation of the word.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
that's a really good point.
You can't call me this word in a derogatory way if I'm wearing it on my finger.
Yeah, that is really interesting. But in that context, okay. It never bothered me. I've seen it 1,000 times. That's interesting. So what do you do? Like, do you know when, with your meditation class, I know it's early, but I'm thinking about how we take the time. Have there been times that you have just said, time out, I got to go?
So before I moved into this apartment, or before we moved into this apartment, I had this very romantic idea of, you know, wake up at 7 a.m. every morning and I make a cup of tea, and then I sit in my meditation closet and listen to relaxing music, and I pull a tarot card, and everything is just better. And I hate to break it to you, that is not the reality of the situation. I use it, but it's not like, I don't want it to be this rigid, oh, I have to start every day in my meditation closet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want it to be organic and fun and just, you know, a place that I can go when I'm stressed out. So yes, to answer your question, there's been times when I've felt very overwhelmed just because moving is stressful. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go, like you said, put myself in time out. I'm going to go chill in my closet. Maybe I just take a couple deep breaths. Maybe I flip through a book. Maybe I pull a tarot card. Maybe I light some sage, who knows? Mm-hmm. But it's just a place where nothing else is expected of me.
Yeah.
And that brings me peace.
I love that. I really do. I really do. And you just nailed the idea of what you're striving for, right? What brings me peace? And it's something different for everybody, you know?
It is. And, you know, it's, you don't have to paint a room of your apartment.
No, you don't have to apologize for needing and having space, time, whatever it is to get your peace. Right. Because like the idea of Chelsea Handler needing 2 hours, you know, if we're not in the right mindset to be out and among people, it's not going to go well, you know, or it's not going to go as well as it could. It's sort of like when I talk about high functioning and I say, you might be quote unquote high functioning alcoholic or, you know, substance abuser, but you're definitely not functioning at your potential. You're leaving a lot on the table. You're leaving your best self. And it is, it goes to the why suffer question, and it goes to, you know, being the happiest version of yourself you can be.
Yeah, that, you know, that reminds me of, well, earlier you mentioned boundaries, and I'm forgetting the name of this book that I want to recommend. Okay, it's Nedra Glover, Set Boundaries, Find Peace. Okay. That's what it is.
We'll put the link in the show notes.
Yes, and she has a new book coming out soon called A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships, Drama Free. Hello.
Yeah.
I'll take that one too. But she's a therapist, and she has a really good way of talking about advocating for yourself. And like you said, setting boundaries. So, you know, I think the title of that book, Set Boundaries, Find Peace, that is embodying what this meditation closet is for me. I have set boundaries. I tell my partner, I'm going to go into this room for a little bit. I'm going to take care of myself. He understands. I don't get disturbed in there. And I just feel a little bit better when I leave.
That's perfect. That's what you're aiming for. It doesn't have to be like you feel perfect when you leave. You feel a little bit better.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, again, to quote our favorite song, if you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down.
Yes.
By, you know, the Gin Blossoms. If you don't expect too much of, you know, meditation or boundaries or creating a space for yourself or a room of one's own, if you will,
yeah.
It's not going to solve all of my problems. The fact that I have this closet for relaxation, I still have stress. I still have anxiety. Mm-hmm. I still have a lot of other shit going on, but I do have a spot where I can feel, if I can feel just 1% better,
mm-hmm.
that's a win for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that really nails it. I mean, it is all a progression, and it is also, as you do it, it's a muscle that you work, right? Like if you get into the habit of doing these things, right. And, you know, it will get easier. It may seem really hard at first to, you know, to take the time or to take the space. But if you, you know, keep at it and you just start doing it, it gets easier every time.
Well, and I think if, you know, maybe if you're listening and this feels very overwhelming to you and you're like, I have three kids, I don't have room for a closet.
Right.
I don't even have a corner of my house that I can just relax in. I think, you know, bringing it back to the beginning of the episode, like we talked about, buy yourself some flowers, go take yourself out to a nice lunch.
Yeah.
You know, like there's ways you can pamper yourself.
That's a great point.
Buy a nice bath bomb for when you take a bath. You know, like treat yourself to the nice bath bomb.
Yeah.
You know, just like, what can you do to take care of yourself if you don't have a physical place to go?
Mm-hmm.
What activities can you do that can replicate that same level of peace?
That's right. That's a really great point. So what music do you associate with your closet and finding peace and all of that?
You know, since I've been, you know, moving, unpacking all of that, I've just been listening to a lot of just instrumental music.
Mm.
Like I talk about Krungbin a lot. Like I probably sang it wrong. I'm sorry, but they just, like, in my office, Nick makes fun of me at this point. My office is constantly just playing Krungbin instrumentals on repeat.
Oh, wow.
There's it is just so relaxing to me.
Yeah.
And even if I leave my office and I go run an errand or whatever, I keep the speaker going, because it's like when I come back into my office, I want to feel that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really cool. I like it.
Yeah.
The one I thought about, given all we were talking about your new space and all of that, is Crosby, Stills and Nash, our house. Mm.
Yes.
Right?
Very, very, very fine house.
Yes. And it just, there is something that is not only that song, it's not just the lyrics of that song that are really comforting and, you know, kind of bringing you home. but just the whole vibe of that song for some reason, it just really, I find that like a very comforting song. And so it is also a celebration, you know, a celebration of your new home, which is amazing.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. And also it makes me think of, you know, the classic, maybe literary minute of A Room of One's Own, Virginia Woolf.
It's, you know, I was going to title the episode that. I changed it to Treat Yourself, but I was going to title the episode A Room of One's Own.
Hey, we can still change it, Lisa. It's fine.
I like Treat Yourself.
I think it's, it works with this because, you know, if you've not read it yet, it's short. It's only like 150 pages. And she's talking about the importance of creating space for yourself.
Yeah.
And especially for women, you know, I'll leave it there if you're interested in reading something, that you haven't read yet. But, you know, there's just, I think the moral of the story, just, you know, set boundaries, no peace.
Yeah. You got to set the boundaries to find the peace. And the peace if it's fleeting peace, it's really critical.
Mm, that's a good point. You know, I don't leave the meditation closet problem free. The problems are still there.
Right, right.
But I have just calmed myself a little bit.
That's right.
And I feel a little bit better. Same way as like, I'm really stressed out about this deadline. I look to the fresh flowers and I'm like, I will stop and quite literally smell the flowers, Lisa.
Yeah.
And like, okay, you know, just even engaging in different senses, you know, have a candle lit, have an oil diffuser, smell the bouquet of flowers that you bought yourself, you know, just to get yourself out of your head.
Yeah.
Smell something else.
Smell something else.
Stop smelling your own anxiety and just get out.
I love it. So, all right, with that, we'll see you next time.
Yes. Let us know how you pamper the fuck out of yourself. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.